It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's already February 24th and 25th. Valentine's Day has come and gone. The winter has sort of gone a little mild on us, and for my running friends, that made it easy for the so-called Fat Tuesday road race we had a couple Tuesdays ago in Manchester. It was put on by Millennium Running, and it's part of the Northeast Delta Dental Points Chase Series. Well done. There was a big party at the for the runners at the Radisson afterwards, so that was a lot of fun. And for those of you that do the Winter Wild Series, we had a night race at a Scutney, and the week before we were at Whaleback. So the great thing about this program is that we get to connect the dots. We have about 22 minutes or so to kind of explore topics. And this weekend with me is Maggie Pritchard and Ian Nichols from the Lakes Region Mental Health Center. We're going to get into a lot of topics, including change direction, as well as a conference that Justice Broderick and I are orchestrating at Southern New Hampshire on March 28th. But let's start with Maggie and Ann, and tell us about your background. Maggie, first you, the Executive Director of Lakes Region's Mental Health Center.
Thanks, Tom. Yes, I've been in community mental health in New Hampshire for the last 35 years, and Lakes Region Mental Health is my fifth mental health center and the only one that I've been the executive director of. Very proud to be there, as it is one of the smaller mental health centers that was founded 52 years ago by a local pediatrician. So he was really a guy before his time. His name was Pete Harris, and he understood integration. He was a pediatrician who saw families and children and said, I have to take care of their mental health as well as their physical health.
So he was way ahead of his time, because we all know the holistic approach. And in my field, I always end every speech with the mouth is part of the body, and you can't have good oral health without good oral health. And I think the sort of above the neck health, whether it's, you know, mental health, oral health, hearing, sometimes people put that in a compartment, and it, obviously it's part of the holistic approach. So, Ann, tell us about yourself. You left a long career in retail banking, which probably created some mental health issues for you from time to time. But speak right into the microphone and tell us how you segued from a long banking career to what you're doing at Lakes Region.
Well, interestingly, I've always been affiliated with Lakes Region Mental Health Center for about 12 or 14 years, I think, serving on the board. My service on the board was extended probably about 9 years until I actually chaired the board for this organization. So making the switch really wasn't as major as some would think, only because I was very familiar with the organization and its mission and its purpose. And I'd been very involved with at a board level trying to meet those objectives. So the banking career was a good career for me, but 36 years of that was enough, and it was time to try and do something different, something a little bit more impactful.
Was it difficult segueing into a management role and knowing what, you know, management is? And when you were a board member, we had, you know, we have an expression, you know, nose in, finger out, meaning, you know, ask the tough questions, you know, but let the management team, you know, manage the business. Did obviously being chair and being on the board gave you a lot of familiarity with the organization, but did it take you a while to kind of get into your new role, or you just swing right into it?
Just swung right into it, because my background was in management, so I understood the difference between governance and management. And, you know, that was very important, I think, when I was on the board itself, is to make sure that the board was really working on the vision and the much bigger picture. And now as an employee, it's our job to actually execute on that plan. So I had a pretty clear understanding of the difference between the two. But so it was very easy. I mean, there are a lot of skills in banking that I use in this job anyway. It's very much a part of relationship building. So
awesome. Maggie, you're well decorated in the field. You've received an award from NAMI, and you're the coordinator for the Granite State Critical Incident Street Management Team and so forth. Tell us what that is all about. What do we mean by coordinating the Critical Incident Street Management Team?
It's actually a stress management team, and it is for firefighters and police officers and first responders. We are a volunteer organization that was developed in 1989 by the chief of the fire department in Nashua, who saw that firefighters in particular would go on calls and be affected by them and really needed some support afterwards, not necessarily counseling, not psychoanalysis or anything like that, but more peer support and some mental health professionals to help lead discussions and help those firefighters get back into service after a bad call. So I've been doing that since 1989. It's very rewarding work, and it says that we understand what high-stress jobs are, and we know how important they are, and we know how important it is to keep those police officers and firefighters working.
So you got your master's in community mental health counseling from New England College. So you knew at an early age that this is the field you wanted to get into?
So I did think that I would go into helping people. I wanted actually first to be a criminal defense lawyer, but my father talked me out of that. And when I went to social work school, my professors gave me the opportunity to work at the Rochester State Hospital in upstate New York, and I fell in love with it immediately and have been doing it ever since.
Great. So let's talk about Lakes Region Mental Health Center. You're serving 24 municipalities, but people may not know how you're designated by the state of New Hampshire and so forth. So let's do a little primer on Lakes Region Mental Health Center, and that would be, I think, helpful for the listening audience.
All right. There are 10 community mental health centers in New Hampshire designated geographically by the state under contract to serve primarily the most severely affected by mental health issues and those who are on state Medicaid as a benefit. All the mental health centers, our primary focus was around serving adults, and over the years has expanded to include children and elders, as we see all populations are affected by mental health issues. We cover Belknap County and Southern Grafton County, and as you mentioned, Tom, 24 towns in those counties. We serve about 4,000 people over the course of a year, and they are spread for people who have long-term illnesses that are adults, to children who have short-term and long-term illnesses, to people who are going through adjustments and trying to overcome a hardship like the loss of a family member or a divorce. So we do it all, and we do it from ages 3 to 93, and we're serving a lot more elders nowadays because in the Laconia area we actually have over 900 nursing home beds, and so we're actively helping general practitioners who are serving those patients in the nursing home with the psychiatric needs of those patients.
And we're all living longer, which is a blessing, but also obviously creates, you know, more of a need. So, Ian, you're the director of development, and I know the funding, some of it is Medicaid, some of it is private insurance, and so forth. But since you are the director of development and public relations, that must mean that you do rely to some extent on some aspect of fundraising from the public. So tell us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. With the uncertainty of the whole Medicaid funding equation, it's really important to organizations like ours that we have strong community funding support. I've been going through the municipal funding cycle right now where all the towns are preparing for their town meetings. I go before all of those towns and ask them to help fund certain programs. I go before the two counties to ask them to help fund for certain programs. So it's really important that we have their support as well as public donations and so on to be able for us to meet our mission and to ensure long-term sustainability. It's challenging right now because a lot of the towns, a lot of the municipalities are facing increased pressure to fund certain things that they're not getting funding from the state from. We have unfunded state mandates as well. Our emergency services division is one of those services that we provide all 24 towns, and the state requires all 10 community mental health centers to provide that service, but they don't provide the funding to do it. And that means serving people regardless of their ability to pay. So it is an ongoing challenge. It requires a lot of public education and awareness of what we do. And, you know, it's critical.
And your emergency services are provided 24/7 the whole year. So if I'm, I think you've probably stimulated the listening audience in terms of the need out there. So if I'm interested in making a, you know, personal donation, how would I do that?
Well, you could contact me directly through the website. We have Donate Now buttons both on our website as well as on our Facebook page. As well, my contact information is there as well. And so I would encourage those who would like to contribute to certainly go out and do that, because it's important to us and our donors are important to all of us. So.
Great. Maggie, can you talk about One Health Integrated Care and what that is?
Sure. We were fortunate enough to receive a $1.4 million four-year grant from SAMHSA, which is the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Administration. And that allowed us to bring primary care into the community mental health center. So right now, if you went to our offices, either in Laconia or in Plymouth, you would walk in and see a One Health area where we have exam rooms, just traditional exam rooms like you see in your own primary care office, and a physician's assistant or a PRN available to see the patients for their primary care needs. This really helps because people with, particularly with severe and persistent mental illnesses, tend to have a shorter lifespan than the rest of us by about 25 years, and they're not taking care of their physical health, mostly because their health is compromised by somewhat by the functions of the and symptoms of their illness, but also by some of the medications that they have to take to manage their illness. So having primary care within the walls of the community mental health center really makes it easy and less scary for them and gives them an opportunity to be, if you will, more compliant with what a physician is prescribing to them medically.
Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and with me this weekend is Maggie Pritchard, who's the Executive Director, and Ann Nichols, the Director of Development and Public Relations of Lakes Region Mental Health Center. Again, big shout out to the Red Cross team for being on my show last weekend, and again, there's a little bit of relationship to this show because one of the things that Maria was talking about last week was there are so many fires in New Hampshire, and that of course creates, you know, stress for the fire department, the team of fire people, and that creates, you know, a need that Lakes Region Mental Health has filled. Again, a big shout out to my running friends for the doing the Fat Tuesday race in Manchester in the Winter Wild Series, the night race at Ascutney, and the day race, you know, at Wheelback. So, and let's talk about one of my great colleagues, and he's been on this show several times, and as well as the show on Friday when I'm the guest host, and that's former Supreme Court Chief Justice John Broderick. In fact, I was just meeting with him not too long ago, earlier in the week, because on March 28th, we're putting together a conference at Southern New Hampshire University, and it's called The Real Cost to Business, the Mental Health and Addiction Crisis, and we're trying to educate the business community on the costs of mental health disorders. In other words, if, you know, someone's not focused because they're worried about what's going on at home, or if they themselves have some mental health issues, and while certainly you two are in the field, you know all this, we're trying to really educate the business community on that. And so anybody's interested in that, that's March 28th, 8 to 12:30 at Southern New Hampshire University, and just register by going on therealcosttobusiness.eventbrite. And John and I have been on the circuit, as you know. You've seen him in action at schools and in the community. The five signs of potential mental health issues: not feeling like yourself, feeling agitated, are you withdrawn, you're not caring for yourself, or feeling hopeless. And his story is obviously very compelling. So my understanding is that just on February 22nd, he kind of introduced that that topic, and then you took over from there. So tell us about that.
It was a remarkable evening, I will say. Judge Broderick, when he made his first appearance earlier this winter in Laconia and shared his journey, I think a lot of people were just fascinated with that. And one of the things that he talked about was the importance of needing to change the conversation, addressing the whole issue of stigma around mental illness. So at the event on February 22nd, we did a follow-up event in combination, or we co-hosted it with Stand Up Laconia. And one of our child therapists came in and actually talked a little bit more in depth about, you know, what are the symptoms that people should be looking for, whether it's a member of your own family, whether it's a student in your classroom, whether it's your neighbor. What kinds of things should you be aware of, and what should you do? What kind of conversation you should have? So, you know, it was an important follow-up, I think, to Judge Broderick's presentation.
And when I was chair of the State Board of Ed, you know, he presented to the State Board, and that really created a platform where we can get these placards out. And I see them all over the schools. I see them all over the community. And if you want more information on that, it's changedirection.org. Tell us about the Healthy Minds, Healthy Communities campaign.
Maggie, so you want to take that? I'll start with a little bit about our services. And they are mirrored primarily in all mental health centers through the state. So no matter what community you live in, you should be able to find some basic commonalities of services offered by mental health centers, which would be outpatient therapy, medication monitoring, evaluations, consultation for your primary care doc, supported employment to get you back on your feet and get a job, in shape to make sure that your physical health is being maintained as well as your mental health, services for children like cognitive behavioral therapy, trauma-focused therapy. So we do play therapy. We do a renew program for kids who transition from teenagers to adulthood who are going to have some difficulty entering the workforce and finishing off their high school careers, if you will. And so we're involved in people's lives wherever they need us, whenever they need us. We even do child impact program for divorcing adults in the state of New Hampshire. All the mental health centers offer that program so that parents can be prepared to co-parent in the situation where they're going through a divorce. Our Healthy Communities campaign was really started because we needed to purchase a building and have us all be under one roof. So currently we're actually involved in still this capital campaign to raise dollars to pay back, obviously, the money that we have borrowed to set ourselves up in what I think is a state-of-the-art community mental health center in downtown Laconia, complete with a huge training room, which has been a great benefit to us and to our staff. It really involves them in a new way, challenging them to be teachers of others as well as each other. And we're just pleased as punch to be there and hoping to reach our goal. We're about 78% there right now.
Congratulations.
Ann, tell you a little more about that.
Now, Ann, could you also... basically, this is your big chance. So effective January 1, just of this year, was the name change of Genesis Behavioral Health to Lakes Region Mental Health Center. So tell us the, no pun intended, the genesis behind that and how you consolidated, four locations.
Yeah, well, we decided to do everything all at once because I think it made the most sense. Purchasing the new building and relocating to a facility that would allow us to expand our services, both, you know, to our patients, but also to the community, was important to us. So that happened over New Year's weekend. We actually relocated to a new building at that point in time. And when I talked to the board about the name of the organization, we had been contemplating changing the name or in some way maybe readopting our corporate name, because people, when they hear Genesis Behavioral Health, which was our former name, it doesn't always articulate well what we do. You know, people said, oh, okay, not sure what that is, but So Lakes Region Mental Health Center was actually our legal name. It always has been. It was our name when we opened our doors 52 years ago. And Genesis Behavioral Health was our trade name. So when I presented to the board the opportunity that now would be a good time to revert and readopt our corporate name, we decided to do it at the same time that we relocated. So that's kind of the story behind it. It made sense, and quite honestly, Mental Health Center, having that in your name, people have a better idea of what you do.
Says it like it is, makes it clear. So the goals were, when the consolidation was, to improve patient care and to increase access to care, as well as increasing the visibility and raising public awareness for the mental health services. So that kind of is like the change direction. So as you kind of sum things up, maybe you can talk about the benefits to the Laconia area and then outline the service locations in Laconia, and we'll call it a wrap.
All right, so our downtown Laconia location is at 40 Beacon Street East, which is right across from City Hall. We have a sign on the outside of the building that's larger than life.
That's very true. Yeah,
I've seen it. It's sort of like, you know, not in your face, but we don't want to hide anymore. I think the name Genesis Behavioral Health was adopted at a time where stigma was something that we also were cognizant of, and we thought maybe we were doing a favor to people by calling ourselves something different. And we're now sort of coming out again and saying, nope, it's okay, and here we are.
And that feeds right into change direction, being able to talk comfortably about it.
Absolutely. And the only other service location we have is up in Plymouth on 599 Tenney Mountain Highway. And again, we're doing a new signage there, too, that'll be hopefully bigger than life. And you'll see it, and it will say the Lakes Region Mental Health Center. So we're not shy anymore. And being downtown in Laconia has been a boost, I think, to the Laconia downtown area for merchants, because we have about 130 staff members in that office who can now frequent the shops there, go to lunch, work out at the gym, and just be a part of that city, which, you know, has struggled from time to time to define itself and to really bring in business. So we're happy to be a part of that fix, if you will. And because we don't have a lot of public transportation in the Lakes region, it's great for our patients to be able to walk or easy to get a ride to downtown Laconia.
So this is, we have about 30 seconds. I've mentioned before commercial break, you know, that you're somewhat funded by Medicaid and private insurance and Medicare, but you do need public support. So let's talk about if you've made the compelling case today and I want to make a donation, how I would do that, and then we'll get you back on the show and see how the new branding is going.
The easiest way to make a donation is to go to our website, which is lrmhc.org, and click on the Donate Now button, and it's as easy as that.
Awesome. Well, Maggie and Ann, this is such an important topic. I've learned a lot working with Justice Broderick, and years ago, I was also recognized by NAMI, so I know this is an important area, above the neck health, and you can't have good overall health without good mental health and oral health and all the connections. We didn't have time to get into it, but with all what's going on with the opioid crisis and food insecurity and homelessness, it's kind of all connected. So thanks for the great work that you do.
Thank you, Tom.
Tom Raffio will return next weekend with more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio.